Work, labor, and play. So far as I know, Miss Hannah Arendt was the first person to define the essential difference between work and labor. To be happy, a man must feel, firstly, free, and secondly, important. He cannot be really happy if he is compelled by society to do what he does not enjoy doing, or if what he enjoys doing is ignored by society as of no value or importance. In a society where slavery in the strict sense has been abolished, the sign that what a man does is of social value is that he is paid money to do it. But a laborer today can rightly be called a wage slave. A man is a laborer if the job society offers him is of no interest to himself, but he is compelled to take it by the necessity of earning a living and supporting his family. The antithesis to labor is play. When we play a game, we enjoy what we are doing. Otherwise, we should not play it. But it is a purely private activity. Society could not care less whether we play it or not. Between labor and play stands work. A man is a worker if he is personally interested in the job which society pays him to do. What, from the point of view of society, is necessary labor is, from his own point of view, voluntary play. Whether a job is to be classified as labor or work depends not on the job itself, but on the tastes of the individual who undertakes it. The difference does not, for example, coincide with the difference between a manual and a mental job. A gardener or a cobbler may be a worker. A bank clerk, a laborer. Which a man is can be seen from his attitude toward leisure. To a worker, leisure means simply the hours he needs to relax and rest in order to work efficiently. He is therefore more likely to take too little leisure than too much. Workers die of coronaries and forget their wives' birthdays. To the laborer, on the other hand, leisure means freedom from compulsion, so that it is natural for him to imagine that the fewer hours he has to spend laboring and the more hours he is free to play, the better. What percentage of the population in a modern technological society are, like myself, in the fortunate position of being workers? At a guess, I would say 16%, and I do not think that figure is likely to get bigger in the future. Technology and the division of labor have done two things. By eliminating in many fields the need for special strength or skill, they have made a very large number of paid occupations, which formerly were enjoyable work, into boring labor. And by increasing productivity, they have reduced the number of necessary laboring hours. It is already possible to imagine a society in which the majority of the population, that is to say, its laborers, will have almost as much leisure as in earlier times was enjoyed by the aristocracy. When one recalls how aristocracies in the past actually behaved, the prospect is not cheerful. Indeed, the problem of dealing with boredom may be even more difficult for such a future mass society than it was for aristocracies. The latter, for example, ritualized their time. There was a season to shoot grouse, a season to spend in town, etc. The masses are more likely to replace an unchanging ritual by fashion, which it will be in the economic interest of certain people to change as often as possible. Again, the masses cannot go in for hunting, for very soon there would be no animals left to hunt. For other aristocratic amusements like gambling, dueling, and warfare, it may be only too easy to find equivalents in dangerous driving, drug-taking, and senseless acts of violence. Workers seldom commit acts of violence because they can put their aggression into their work, be it physical, like the work of a smith, or mental, like the work of a scientist or an artist. The role of aggression in mental work is aptly expressed by the phrase getting one's teeth into a problem.